You're listening to In the Vault, a KPMG banking industry podcast series.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to today's podcast. I'm Liz Lamadou, a principal in KPMG's Banking and Capital Markets Tax Practice. And joining me today is Will Shine, a manager in our WNT Financial Institutions and Products Group. Welcome, Will.
Thank you very much, Liz. Happy to be here.
Great to have you. So today we're going to talk about another provision of the OB3 legislation from last summer, and that is a new type of IRA savings account for eligible minors. This was created under Internal Revenue Code Section 530 Cap A, and these are called the Trump accounts. So, Will, we just got some guidance recently. We had the original statute starting last summer that was a little bit skinny, but we received some guidance recently from the IRS.
That's right, Liz. So, in early December, the IRS released Notice 2025-68 that really beefed out some of the details of Trump accounts, including who's eligible, the life cycle, contributions, investment restrictions, trustee responsibilities. And I'm hoping we can get into all of those today.
Sounds great. Well, let's get started. Let's start with eligibility. Who's eligible to be the beneficiary of a Trump account?
So a Trump account can be established for anyone under the age of 18 who holds a valid Social Security number. And how this gets established is either by filing IRS Form 4547 or using the online tool at trumpaccounts.gov. Form 4547 can be filed at any time, although Notice 2025-68 recommends that it be filed with the income tax return for the individual establishing the account.
And do the adults establishing an account need to have a Social Security number or just the beneficiary?
Just the beneficiary has to have a Social Security number. The one who establishes the account for the beneficiary, there are some ordering rules for that. It would be legal guardian and then parent and then grandparents are the ordering rules for who can establish those accounts.
And how is this savings account established to make it a Trump account?
That's a good question. So the IRS Form 4547, which a draft version was released with the recent notice, that is called Trump account elections. And so you can use that to actually make an election for the Treasury Department to create a Trump account for the beneficiary.
And then that election can be made anytime before a beneficiary turns 18?
So strictly speaking, it has to be before December 31st, the year before a beneficiary turns 18. So December 31st, when the beneficiary is 17, is the last day a Trump account can be created for that beneficiary.
And when can contributions begin to be made, or when do these accounts actually start?
So contributions can be made at any time during the growth period, which is from the account creation until that December 31st date when the beneficiary is 17. To be specific, the IRS has said that contributions cannot be made until July 4th, 2026. So I would expect to be waiting until at least that date to start making contributions. However, once the account is created and the beneficiary is of the eligible age, then contributions can be made at any point during the growth period.
And just to remind folks, the magic of that July date is that it was 1 year from the date that the OB3 legislation was signed. So let's talk for a second about the different types of contributions that can go into these savings accounts.
Yes, that was a specific point in the recent notice, is really detailing all these types of contributions, including where they can come from, their limits, who's eligible for them. So I can give a brief overview of those contributions if that would be useful.
Yeah, that sounds great. I think the one we've heard the most about is that one-time $1,000 payment per eligible child.
Yeah, of course. So the pilot program contribution. So like you mentioned, that's going to be a one-time $1,000 payment per eligible child. That's going to come straight from the U.S. government. And to make a callback briefly to the Form 4547, that's one of the elections available on that form. So when that form is filed, not only can you elect to create a Trump account, but separately, you can also elect to enroll in this pilot program contribution.
Okay, great. And then are only specific minors eligible for that contribution?
Yes. So specifically, that's going to be children born in calendar years 2025, 2026, 2027, and 2028, which you'll notice coincides with the calendar years of the second Trump administration. And then they have to be U.S. citizens. So it's not enough just to have a Social Security number. You have to be a U.S. citizen as well to receive that $1,000 eligible payment.
So that's the pilot program contribution. Now, what about what we're hearing called the qualified seed contribution?
Yeah, so that's a separate contribution provided by the Dell Foundation through their philanthropic endeavors. And that's actually going to fit under this general category that the IRS calls qualified general contributions. And what qualified general contributions are they are any contribution made by a U.S. state, the U.S. government, or tax-exempt organization. And there is no annual limit to these. Specifically, the one we're referencing here is this qualified seed contribution, which is a one-time $250 payment per eligible child.
And which children are eligible for this $250 payment?
Good question. So under the IRS's definitions of a qualified general contribution, there has to be this qualified class of individuals that meet the requirements for receiving the contribution. And so the qualified class can be any year or geographical area that is specified by the contributing parties. And so in this instance, the Dells have specified that they would like their $250 contribution per child to go to any children under the age of 11 who live in areas with median household incomes under $150,000. And those children cannot have already qualified for the pilot program contribution.
Okay, interesting. So the pilot program versus the seed contribution is either or?
Correct, yes. You cannot qualify for both.
Okay. And then just further clarification, this qualified seed contribution of $250 is an example of what the statute calls the qualified general contribution.
Yes, that's exactly the case. And so we might see more of these in the future, whether they're from U.S. states, the U.S. government, or tax-exempt organizations that are defining a qualified class and then making sort of this uniform contribution to every eligible individual within that class.
Interesting. So if it's a state, then perhaps they qualify it by something related to their state residence.
Exactly. Yes. The only requirement really for meeting this qualified class definition is that there have to be at least 5,000 eligible Trump accounts within that geographical area.
So there has to be a certain population. You can't specify something that maybe only one person qualifies for.
Exactly. Yes.
That makes sense. Now, I've also heard about employer contributions. Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah. So there are allowable employer contributions up to a limit, which for 2025 and 2026 is going to be $2,500. And then after that, there will be cost of living adjustments starting in 2027. This $2,500 annual limit is solely related to the employer contributions. There is generally a $5,000 annual limit for all contributions that aren't otherwise specified, and this $2,500 employer contribution would count against that $5,000 limit as well.
Now I see we've got lots of different classes of contributions. The pilot contribution of $1,000, or you potentially someone might qualify not for that, but for the seed contribution of $250. There could be qualified general contributions, TBD in the future, from a state or another type of philanthropic organization. But now if we just talk about general contributions, this is a $5,000 per year contribution, of which $2,500 could be from your employer.
Correct. And this sort of other general contributions is what I think most people would think about when they're contributing to a beneficiary's Trump account. That's going to be money from a parent, you know, a relative, maybe a local organization. Everything else fits in this other category, subject to that $5,000 annual limit.
And I should say that we've been saying the employer. It's clearly not the beneficiary's employer as the
correct
minor beneficiary, but the parent, grandparent, etc.
Yes, that is a good point. Thank you.
And then what about contributions that are actually rollovers from something else? Are those allowed?
Yeah. So if you have a Trump account and you'd like to roll it over into another Trump account with maybe a different trustee, then that trustee to trustee rollover is allowed. There's no limit to the amount that can be rolled over. The only restriction there is that it has to be during what we call the growth period. So it has to be before December 31st when the beneficiary is 17.
So the rollovers are from Trump account to Trump account, not from a different savings vehicle into a Trump account.
Correct. And I think this would be a good opportunity to point out that Trump accounts specify that they are separate from other IRAs. Even after the growth period ends, a Trump account will remain a Trump account, even though it can be treated like a traditional IRA. At that point, since it's subject to traditional IRA rules, you could actually roll it over into another IRA or a Roth IRA or another investment savings vehicle.
So after that growth period ends, a Trump account can be rolled over into one of these other types of IRAs if the beneficiary would like that.
Yes.
Well, that's really helpful to talk through those contribution types and limits. What about other limitations or restrictions on the account? Let's think about investment restrictions. Can these accounts do anything they want?
No, that's a great question. So once you've contributed to these Trump accounts, that money that's in there, there are very stringent rules on how that can be invested. So the recently released notice specifies that it has to be a mutual fund or ETF that tracks a U.S. company index, and there cannot be more than a 0.1% annual fee on that fund.
So no non-publicly traded assets, no derivatives, no leverage, no margin. Definitely some strict rules around what can be invested in.
Yes, that's accurate. And those rules will have to be monitored by the trustees that run these Trump accounts. They need to make sure that those investments are proper and nothing that's disallowed is being invested in while the money is in that Trump account.
So we'll put that under one of the trustee responsibilities, is monitoring those investments.
And we can dive into that a little bit later in the trustee section.
Now let's talk distributions. How does a beneficiary get their money back out of the Trump account?
So this whole time we've been talking about sort of the two periods in the Trump account life cycle. And there's that growth period and then the post-growth period where it's treated like a traditional IRA. And so during the growth period, distributions are generally disallowed from Trump accounts. There are a few exceptions. One of those we touched on earlier, which is the trustee-to-trustee rollover of a Trump account. There's also an excess contribution distribution that's allowed. And then, of course, upon the death of a beneficiary, you can distribute during the growth period. However, after the growth period, since the account follows traditional IRA rules, the withdrawal and distribution rules for the Trump accounts also follow traditional IRA rules.
Okay, so during the growth period, and again, that's the period until the beneficiary turns 18, or essentially December 31st of the year before the beneficiary turns 18, right?
Correct.
Okay. So during that growth period, no distributions generally allowed.
That is accurate, yes.
Then afterwards, we're going to go into traditional IRA rules, no withdrawal restrictions at age 59 and a half, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes, and then obviously allowable early withdrawals for certain qualified expenses like education expenses, first time buying a home, establishing a business, the ones that fall under the traditional IRA rules.
Gotcha. Now, we can't necessarily talk about distributions without thinking tax considerations. So are these taxable?
Part of these distributions will be, and I would say the majority will be, depending on how you got the money into the Trump account through the contributions. Because these Trump accounts have all the varying types of contributions that we discussed, some of the money that's going in is post-tax and some is pre-tax and some is tax-free. So we mentioned that pilot program contribution, that one-time $1,000 payment, that's a tax-free contribution. So when that comes out of the Trump account, it's still not going to be taxed. We mentioned the employer contributions. Those are pre-tax contributions. And so when those come out of the Trump account, they're going to be taxed at ordinary rates. And then we mentioned these other contributions, this $5,000 limit. Since those are post-tax as well, when they come out, they won't be taxed. Any earnings on the investments will also come out and be taxed at ordinary tax rates.
Okay, so certain contributions come out tax-free. All investment earnings, though, are taxable at the time of distribution. Seems to me there needs to be some good basis tracking for these accounts.
Yes, that's one of the responsibilities that the trustee has, is going to be providing sort of an annual report on the basis in these Trump accounts to make sure that the money is coming out correctly, either as tax-free or taxable at ordinary rates.
And I don't think the guidance yet gets into detail about what comes out first. Is there ordering? Is there pro rata in terms of tax-free and taxable on distributions? But maybe that's something we can expect in the future.
That's accurate, Liz. I think with the establishment, they've focused a lot on how to establish and how to contribute to Trump accounts, but there hasn't been as much detail on how to take this money out of the Trump accounts.
So let's focus for a second, Will, on some key dates. We talked about July 4th, 2026 as the earliest date for contributions to be made into a Trump account. What other key dates should we think about?
Yeah, so we mentioned this pilot program contribution a few times, and I'll just bring up again that that's going to be for children born between January 1st, 2025 and December 31st, 2028. So for children born in those four calendar years, they'll qualify for the pilot program contribution. And then we also want to mention December 31st, 2025. That's when the provisions begin to apply.
Okay, great. And then finally, I want to talk for a second about the trustee responsibilities, as I think within this industry, that's going to fall to a lot of our banks. You've mentioned a few already, but can you talk us through some of the overall responsibilities of the trustee?
Yeah, we've sort of been alluding to this throughout the entire discussion, and that's because the trustees have a lot of responsibility here. They're the ones who need to monitor the contributions, the investments, the distributions. It's all on their shoulders to make sure that these Trump accounts are compliant with the guidance out there. So some of the specific responsibilities that they'll have is they'll have to process and track these contributions. We've mentioned that these contributions can come from different sources, and depending on their source, they're subject to a limit. Well, it's up to the trustees to determine if that limit has been met and to disallow or distribute any excess over that limit.
That seems like a fairly big job. And then you also mentioned that only certain types of investments can be made. And we talked about that oversight needing to be the trustee's responsibility as well.
Yes. One thing we didn't mention talking about those investment restrictions is cash or money market accounts. Trump accounts can't actually hold cash except for if it's being turned from a contribution into an investment. And so what the notice actually suggests is that these trustees should have sort of default investment settings, that as soon as a contribution goes into the account, it's automatically invested into a default mutual fund or ETF. There's also the role of making sure that these investments remain compliant with the code. So let's suppose that an investment is compliant and then that fund raises the fees a little bit and all of a sudden it's not compliant. Well, it's the trustee's responsibility to monitor that. And for any sudden non-compliance, they have to then sell that fund and reinvestment in the default fund.
And then I think there's also the controls around the distributions.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, because there's only distributions allowed during a certain period of the Trump account life cycle, it's the trustee's responsibility to make sure that they're not distributing something before it's allowed to be distributed. At every point in this process, it sort of falls upon the trustees to take responsibility and ownership in making sure that the Trump accounts are compliant at every step.
Yeah, and I guess we skipped over it, but if we think about the life cycle, it starts with eligibility verification and confirming the beneficiaries actually qualify.
Yeah. The trustees aren't going to be allowed to make a Trump account for someone who doesn't qualify. So they definitely need to be on top of making sure everyone who has a Trump account is allowed to have that Trump account.
And then I think the other thing, if I think about responsibilities, is information reporting related to all of this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's something that the notice spends a lot of time discussing. And I think we'll see more information come out about that, because there's going to be annual reporting requirements for these trustees, both to the beneficiaries of the account, but also to the government. And what that annual reporting looks like is a little bit unknown right now. The IRS has said that they'll release some more forms and guidance that these trustees can use to do that annual reporting. But it is definitely going to be something that we have to keep an eye out for.
With that, I think that's a great place to wrap up, because we will anticipate future guidance. I don't know if that'll be in the form of more notices or proposed regulations, but we'll watch for that coming out, and we'll have you back then to talk us through the new stuff.
Yes, looking forward to it. I'll make sure I'm able to keep everyone up to date on any activities around the Trump accounts.
Great. And thanks for joining me today to talk us through what we know so far. And to our audience, thanks for listening. This is Liz Lamadou on behalf of KPMG's Banking and Capital Markets Tax Practice. I look forward to talking again soon.
Thanks for listening to In the Vault with KPMG. Be sure to subscribe to this series to be notified of new episodes.